Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
What is up? It's Sam Crowley, host of the, you heard it right on the intro, the Everyday Saturday podcast. I'm going to preach. It's Thursday, March 1st. Woo-hoo! It's the first day of March. Are you fired up? I told you it was coming. I told you March was coming. Now, you can call me a prophet. You can say I can see into the future. I told you March was coming. Just like it does every single year for 50 years since 1968, since I was born. Actually, I was not around to see March of 1968. I was around to see March of 1969 because I was born in June of 1968. But let me tell you something. Since my 50 spins around this earth, I can tell you March comes every year. And you know what's coming next? April. It's going to be awesome, man. The winter, it's over. It is over. The smell of firewood burning in our home is going to dissipate over the next 30 days. We open the pool in about 6 weeks. Whoop, whoop. Hey, I got to preach today. So if you're on it, that's awesome. If you're into this stuff, that's great. Thank you so much for the messages on Insta. You can DM me anytime. I'll get back. I might even send a video back. Just a quick hit, 10 to 20 second video reply to you on Instagram. Send me a DM. Hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley. You know how to find me, right? Want to work together one-on-one? You want to get motivated, inspired, empowered to have your greatest breakthrough this year? I hate that word. I hate it. God, I wish I wouldn't have just said that. You know why? Because everybody else says it. And like I talk about all the time, you know what's missing? Authenticity. So instead of breakthrough, how about you absolutely freaking crush it? How about you celebrate who you are? And that's the topic of today's show. I'm coming with it, man. Big, big, big time today. I'm going to bring it. You ready? Nothing good comes from fill in the blank. Bankruptcy, cancer diagnosis, broken family, drug addiction, porn addiction, affairs between spouses, health, financial relationship. Nothing comes from good ever comes from any of that, right? Wrong. I was listening to a great sermon. If you never check out, I don't know if you look, I got to quit apologizing for, you know, preaching the Christian faith on my show. I am unapologetic about that, okay? But Pastor Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church, Elevation, they got an app on the iPhone. I steal a lot of my best stuff from him. Not all of it. I got to tell him, I got to have him on the show sometime and just thank him for all the inspiration. Steve Furtick, Elevation Church, it's so motivational, man. And yeah, he preaches the word and he preaches from the Bible, and I don't apologize for that at all. But he was talking about in his last sermon, does anything good come from Nazareth? Because back in the day, nothing good came from Nazareth. Nothing! Jesus did. Jesus came from Nazareth. And so it led me to thinking, wow, that's pretty damn powerful, man. Yeah, think about that, you know. Nothing good ever comes from Nazareth. Wow, okay. Well, the guy that walked on water did, and here we go. Bankruptcy, something great came out of that for me, and I don't know if you've ever been through that. I've talked to several people. I mean, now probably hundreds of people, maybe even more, maybe into the thousands. I keep thinking, well, I remember that event. I remember that event because when I speak from stage, I share my story of filing chapter 13, October of 2005. And it was the most humiliating, god-awful experience of my life. You know why? Pride. My pride. You got pride. We all have pride until we don't, until we get taken down and humbled. And it's going to happen to everyone. And if it doesn't, it's going to happen to you in your end days. You're going to be laying on that deathbed thinking, seriously? This Rolex, pretty soon I'm going to be a skeleton. Are they going to bury me with this Rolex on? And then it's going to be the skin I'm telling you something else. Can I keep it real? I gotta preach today. All right, give me some space today. I bought a book about 10 years ago called How We Die. All right, I know it sounds morbid. It sounds macabre. Like, dude, what's up? You a freak or not? No, I'm all over the place, man. I'm a bubble on a skillet. I want to soak up as much everything from anywhere as I possibly can. I'm all over the place, all right? And this is kind of this is how I tick. I don't know how you tick, but you got to get what you got out there. This is what I got inside of me. And when I read that book, How We Die, it hit me like a freaking, like a bucket of water, cold water thrown right in my flipping face, man. And I'm like, damn, this is really going to happen to me. I don't know the time or the day or the hour, but this is really going to happen to me. And it talks about different ways the body just ends its life, and it just shuts down. I'm talking about naturally. If it's something different, a crime or something, obviously gunshots and things like that are different. But I'm just talking about when the body decides it's time. It's time to shut down. The brain doesn't fire as much. A lot of the different parts of the body can survive without oxygen for a different period of time. The brain, 3 to 7 minutes, and it's over. I mean, obviously, then if the heart stops beating, it's kind of a done deal, too. It's going to happen to you. And I get a kick out of everybody I see online posing. And I say this all the time. This is kind of the angle my show's taken now, is don't be a poser. Just be who you are. I mean, holy cow. God made you in the image and the likeness of Him, and you're trying to change that. That is so crazy. I don't care if you're 250 pounds. I don't care the skin color. Don't even get me started on skin color. You want to keep it real? Can we keep it real on the show? Or do we got to be politically correct? You know 1/16th of an inch is the epidermis? Think about that. 1/16th of an inch is the thickness of our skin. And yet we allow that to determine how we look at people, how we judge people, how we talk to people, how we classify people, who gets loans, who doesn't get loans. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? That skin, it's 1/16th of an inch. And whether it's brown or white or red or yellow, we determine how we're going to react to other people based on that. And I find that to be absolutely crazy. I walked into Dunkin' with a hoodie on today because number one, it was raining on. And I never took the hoodie down. I kept the hoodie over my head. And the people, it's amazing, man. I walked in there. And it's the same Dunkin'. I walk in every time, but nobody recognized me. Now, it was a different people behind the counter because I didn't go through the drive-thru. But I was standing in line, and all these businessmen and businesswomen took – it was so funny. I wish I would have had a camera. They're taking one step away from me. And then I took one more step towards them in line, and they take one more step away from me. And imagine – I just rolled out of bed, took the girls to school like I do every single day. I'm the only dad in the drop-off line every morning. And then I roll over to Dunkin', and I got the matted bed hair, and I got the hoodie on over it, and I'm standing in line. What would you think? It's amazing. I'm the same guy. I'm the same guy that's in there every day. I'm the everyday Saturday guy walking. I got a hoodie on, and nobody talked to me. Nobody looked. I mean, they all looked at their shoes. Nobody gave me the time of day. When I'm in there looking different, though, without the hoodie and all clean cut and ready to go, everybody talks to me. Everybody looks at me. Hey, how's it going? You good? You good? So we're all going to be dead, man. And everybody's out there, probably you included, anxious over how you're going to be seen or heard or what people are going to think about you when you decide to do this business or this service or this brand you're getting out there, or you went bankrupt. Join the freaking club, man. How many times you been bankrupt? That's what the millionaire asked me at Panera Bread in 2006. You know what the millionaire said to me? Even millionaires like to have a cup of coffee bought for them. Remember that, champion, okay? Oh, he's a millionaire. He wouldn't want me to buy a cup of coffee. Hey. They'll gladly. How do you think they became millionaires? Having other people buy them coffee and lunch. Take a millionaire to lunch this week, next week. Or take somebody successful. How about this? Take somebody with a purpose to lunch. All right? Forget the money. Money doesn't even matter. Money's stupid. Okay? Money doesn't matter. Money is stupid. It's stupid. But, Sam, I gotta pay my bills. You know what? Here's what I do. You want to know what I do? I give God my business. I give God the first 10% of my money, and He takes control of everything. I know. Oh, my God, He's preaching. This guy's off. I'm just telling. Everybody wants to, hey, can I just preach about it a little bit? Is that okay? You're going to get offended. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I swear. I curse. I get angry. when I'm around my buddies, I have a couple too many beers, and it's just stupid. I go back to Sam Crowley of the late 80s and the early 90s. It's embarrassing. I don't like who I am, but I'm a sinner, just like you. I fall, just like you. I trip it up, man, just like you do. But you know what? I always go back and give praise and glory to God for at least giving me the ability to recognize that in myself. So getting back to bankruptcy, for example, nothing good comes from bankruptcy. Bull crap. Bull crap. That's my quote for today. Bull crap. Let me tell you the good news, man. Let me tell you all the good that came from my bankruptcy. Number one, it completely took away my pride. Like, my pride originally was the hardest stick of butter ever. When I went bankrupt, it was like you put that stick of butter in the microwave for 2 minutes, or let's say 30 seconds, got it soft enough, and then that it was a hot knife, baby, right down through it, cut it in half, just melted it. That's what happened when I went bankrupt. You know what else happened when I went bankrupt? And all of the good things that came out of it was I had to become resourceful. The big R word, resourceful. Resourceful. I was getting a steady paycheck. My base salary might have been 100, 110 grand a year or something in that range, not including bonuses and stock options and all that stuff. I'm guessing it was probably about 100 grand a year, give or take 10 grand, doesn't matter. And let's say that's, say, 8,000 a month. Okay, so every 2 weeks I was getting gross pay of $4,000, steady, security. I mean, and even then, my finances were all, it was all messed up, like a 12-year-old's checking account. I mean, it was so stupid. I just had money. Like I said, buying things I couldn't afford, money I didn't have, press people I didn't even like. Country club, sure. Credit card, sure. Car, sure. And when I lost it all, it required me to go out on this huge learning expedition. So Christmas of 2005, Christmas vacation, the company was kind enough to bridge my service between being the corporate guy running the show and the cubicle slave, and I still kept my, whatever it was, 3 or 4 weeks vacation. So I got a couple weeks off in 2005 over the holidays, and I bought a book, an e-book, from the Rich Jerk, who was a master marketer, and he's no longer around, or unless he sold the brand. I don't know if it's still out there, but it was a $37 e-book, and it was fascinating. It was funny. It was in your face. Think about a brand called The Rich Jerk. He would title all his emails, "Hey, Loser." That was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. Even though I was a loser, I had no money. I laughed at the fact that he was bold enough to title his emails, "Hey, Loser, you're probably sitting on the couch in your mom's basement reading this email, but let me help you out a little bit." And so I started learning right then and there about affiliate marketing, about internet marketing, about SEO, about SEM, search engine marketing. And it just... it caught me, man. It caught me. Had I not lost everything, I would not have been as hungry. And there, I'm telling you, there is no substitute for being hungry. When you're complacent and comfortable, you're dead. Comfortable kills. I say it all the time. Comfortable kills. So to say nothing good comes from tough situations like that, it does. I promise you it does. When my mom died in 1997, in July, July 7th of 1997, I was in Buffalo, New York on sales calls. I had 3 sales calls. It was a Monday morning, and I just felt something wrong. And I'm not that guy. You know that, right? I'm not the guy out there with the feelings, okay? But I'm telling you, I had a feeling. And my sister Sue had a feeling as well. I'm the youngest of 8 kids. I have 5 older brothers, 2 older sisters. And my sister Sue was driving back, actually, the day before to Boston from Bradford. We all were in town that weekend to visit my mom. She was celebrating my birthday, which was the previous week. And Sue's pulled over at the side of the road, started crying because she felt that mom was dead. The craziest thing. Crazy. And I felt it the next day, and mom was dead. And then I got the call from my sister Kate at work that mom died. And I'm telling you, I don't even know how you get – there's no way to prepare for that phone call. Everything ends. Everything comes to a halt. Nothing matters. So nothing matters. The mom, right? My dad left when I was 3 months old. The only thing I had was my mom, you know? She raised all of us by herself. And so that's it. She's dead. It's over. Her life's over. It's over. It's over. Okay? And I couldn't come to grips with that at all. I drank every night after I got back to Buffalo after the funeral and the wake and all of that. Nothing like an Irish wake with a Catholic family. Holy moly. We drank and drank. My family had friends coming over bringing meatballs and sauce and bagels and more beer and drinks and more beer. Everybody stopped by the house. We just celebrated my mom's life, probably a little too hard. And then I went back to Buffalo and drank like a fish every single night. Didn't matter. Angela and I were engaged at the time. We broke up for a few weeks because I was just a big ass. I just couldn't process this whole thing, you know? And then I got an opportunity to the manager at the time of our company. I was an outside sales rep. Came and said, hey, we're opening an office in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we'd like to relocate you there, move you there. I was like, sure, I'm in, because I didn't care anymore. It wasn't, I got over the drinking part, feeling sorry for myself, you know, and said, hey, it's me, or I appreciate where you're at, but you're not going to go full-blown alky on me. Let's go, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I felt the self-pity enough, got it out of my system. Let's rock and roll. I went right to Cincinnati. Didn't know what I was going to do, didn't know how much I was going to earn, didn't know where I was going to live, nothing. And Ange went with me. By the way, it was our 20-year anniversary yesterday. 20-year wedding anniversary was yesterday, February 28th. We got married February 28th of 98, a year after we moved to Cincinnati. That's a whole different story, man. What I've put this girl through and how she has stayed with me is just, that is a gift from God. So I moved to Cincinnati because my mom died. I had nothing left anchoring me to the Northeast. My mom was dead, and I was living in Buffalo, 80 miles north of Bradford, Pennsylvania. Now there was no need to live in the Northeast anymore. Didn't need to do it. So something good came from that because I've been in Cincinnati 20 years now. It's the only home my daughters, all of them were born here in Cincinnati. Susan was born in 2014 in the, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes north of Cincinnati Children's Hospital, which she spent 221 days on a ventilator getting trached. Had we not lived in Cincinnati, she would have never made it. Did you know 50% of the airway surgeries in the world, are done at Cincinnati Children's Hospital? We happen to live here. Are you kidding me? With the best physicians in the world when it comes to pediatric airways? I mean, that is a gift from God. That came as a result. I don't know if I ever would have left Buffalo, New York had my mom not died. I don't know if I would have ever left Buffalo, New York, or I may have left if my mom had died 10 years later, but it wouldn't have been Cincinnati. Might have been somewhere else. And if Susan was born, maybe Susan would have never been born. You know that how that works, right? The butterfly effect, the dominoes, how they fall differently depending where you are. So listen to me when I tell you. When you say, well, nothing good can come from me and my hometown. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only is something good going to come, something great is going to happen from your broken marriage, from your drug addiction, from your porn addiction, from your cancer diagnosis, or the loved one that you lost. Something great, something amazing is going to grow from that if you allow it and you change. Look, you can't stay the same. How do you become a different person from that person who was addicted to alcohol, to drugs, who lost everything financially? How do you become a different person after you've lost a loved one who died and went on? Well, you change and you start putting your priorities and you stop. Look, you've seen tragedy happen face to face. You've seen tragedy happen, yet you're still caught up in what people think about you. That's the craziest damn thing I ever heard. You've seen how precious this gift of life is, yet you're still caught up about what somebody on social media says, thinks, does. Are you out of your mind? That's a rhetorical question. Come on now. Let's get going. Be authentic, unapologetically authentic, and understand not only does something good come from Nazareth, you are the individual people are waiting on to get your message out there, your service out there. It doesn't matter what you know from a technical perspective. All of that stuff gets taken care of. People will line up around the corner to help to want to do business with you. If you believe it. Now, if you don't believe that, they sure as hell aren't going to believe it. I just said a statement, and some of the people listening to this podcast are going to roll their eyes. Nobody's going to want to line up around the corner to do business. Well, if you don't believe that, do you think anyone else is going to believe that? It starts. Life's an inside game, man. Life's an inside. If you don't believe that on the inside, you are projecting that on the outside, and you will never attract the kind of people into your life who actually give a crap about you. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. Please understand, great things happen from bad situations. You are the seed that's planted inside of that challenging situation. And I haven't even used the word bad. Challenging is better. And you're going to grow from it. Not only are you going to grow, your brand is going to grow, relationships are going to grow. I'm telling you, it is possible to do a complete 180 in life. I've done it, man. I wish I could share with you what I've done in my life, that if it was a movie, everybody would literally cringe and probably walk out. It's horrible, man. It's horrible. I'm just putting it out there so you can be inspired. I promise you, you haven't done anything as bad as I have. And if you have, congratulations. Something good will grow from that. Apologize, forgive, get grace from God. Move on, man. That's the beauty of Christianity from my perspective. It's not a deeds-driven relationship. The grace has already been done. There's nothing you can do to get grace from God. It's already been given. It's already been given. So go get after it. Go do something great today. Would you please? Go do something great today and hit me up on Twitter and let me know you did it. I don't even care if it's paying for somebody's coffee in the drive-thru. I don't care. By the way, wear a hoodie inside of coffee shop next and see how people treat you. That was actually pretty funny today. Anyway, it's Sam Crowley. We're off and running in March of 2018. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.